Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 114. We are super grateful for you guys joining us once again, whether you're listening or watching on YouTube. Got a really, really enjoyable episode, hopefully. Hopefully a very useful episode for you that we're going to be discussing today as we talk about weddings and kind of depending on where you fall in the positional roles, I guess, of a wedding, kind of what is your expectation. You may notice we're having one more week of kind of mic difficulties. We're going talk show style with this one, with us holding our mics. But Lord willing, next week, we've got a pretty big change that is coming to the Godly Young Men podcast that we will keep you in the dark on until next week. But yeah, I don't know if you got anything you want to say about it to
tease
them.
No, we're pumped. We're pumped. It better be next week.
In the next couple weeks, probably for what, 2 months now?
It feels like for a long time. Yeah, so we've been planning it, and I think it's coming to fruition. We will be ready to unveil whatever that may be next week. And so yeah, we're pretty pumped about it. This is good. And as you can tell, if you're watching, we don't have our
mic arms.
Yeah. That more specifically, I don't have my mic arm, and so Will was. Yeah, generous to let me borrow it last time as we swung it back and forth, but this time, you know, and I'll have that for the next episode. And so we just decided this feels more almost talk show-esque.
It does,
as we both hold it, and it's fun. But yeah, so for this episode, I'll kick us off here on wedding etiquette. I recently preached my brother-in-law's wedding, so this is very fresh in my mind. Yeah, weddings
Joe's
are fun.
Joe's a regular wedding preacher. He's done it a lot, I feel like.
I think that was my sixth. I got another, maybe my seventh, and I got another one coming up in September. I got to fly back to Colorado for. And so what's funny is for hockey, like, they know nobody that's actually religious, but they all need somebody religious
to preach.
So
they remember you. That's funny.
Yeah, I've had fourth or fifth hockey wedding. But my brother-in-law obviously is not, and I've had a couple members of the church. And so it's always fun to preach a wedding, but it also gets your mind thinking on it. And then we also had on the Discord, we got a request from G. John Robbie, I believe. He was asked to be the best man in an upcoming wedding. And so he said, hey, you know, can you record one on this and give us a little bit of advice on what this looks like? And so
hopefully this one doesn't come out too late for him. I don't know when the wedding was.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, sorry, man, if it's best, I'm sure you did a great job.
That's right.
If it's already happened. But yeah, so we wanted to discuss wedding etiquette. Chances are you are going to be invited to a wedding. You probably already have. You're going to be invited to a wedding and you probably will be invited to be in a wedding. If you have friends as a godly young man, like, chances are you're going to be somewhere in somebody's wedding party as a groomsman, maybe as the best man. Lord willing, you will be a groom one day. And so that's what we wanted to get into. Yep. We broke it up into five categories.
Yeah. So let's start with the wedding goer. Just you're attending a wedding. I don't consider this to be just a female thing. I really enjoy going to weddings.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of there's so much joy in the air and the atmosphere.
Absolutely a buzz, yeah.
Yeah, depending on who's getting married, of course. But, you know, for the most part, a lot of joy, just excitement. I remember my wedding day incredibly fondly. It was just such a special day. And so it always brings me joy to see other people going through that as well. And so, I don't know, just like getting up and going to a wedding with you and your family or whatever, like it's just kind of fun. But there are a few kind of do's and don'ts, you might say, that we would strongly encourage you on. The first one would be dress nice. It should go without saying. Keep your keep your joggers at home. Keep your sweatshirts, your hoodies at home. Put something nice on. At the very minimum, I would say khakis and a button up. Yep. If you want to go the extra mile, throw a sport coat on, whatever. But I would say bare minimum needs to be button up and khakis. Whatever you would wear to church on Sunday morning is probably – basically, if you're more casual than Sunday morning, it's probably a little too casual is kind of what I would say. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly it. Sunday clothes, unless directed otherwise, unless it's like a Hawaiian theme and you're just supposed to show up in your, you know, in your Bermuda shorts and whatnot, and that's told to you ahead of time. Plan to show up. You don't have to be dressed to the nines. You're not looking to outdress the groom or anything like that. But yeah, you want to look nice. The other thing is you're there for them. Do not make this about you.
This one's huge. Yeah.
Don't be coming up with that lime green sport coat that you thought looked great. No, it's not about you. You're not trying to draw attention to yourself in that moment. The goofing around and you know, dressing very loudly in those or on the wedding day, making noise during the service. Things like that, man, be very careful.
I would say on that too, like, even if you're super close friends with them, like, give them a little space.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, don't be the guy that, you know, plops down in between them at the reception or just like kind of almost, and you know, I'm not trying to be harsh or anything, but like a little overbearing when it's like, yes, y'all might be super tight, best friends. Give them time to mingle with other people. Don't be attached at the hip to your buddy who's the groom or whatever it is, or your sister who's the bride. Like, try to give them a little space. The other one that you've got on here, this is one of my wife's, like, biggest things. Make sure you're there 10, 15 minutes early. There is, yep. I'm going to be honest, there's not a whole lot ruder than showing up right as they're about to close the door for the bride to walk down, or even 1 or 2 minutes late. Like, yeah. It is my philosophy that if you're going to be that late, don't show up. Like, right. If you can't plan out your day enough to be there 15 minutes early, just don't show up. I mean, this is the most, one of the most special days of these people's lives. And you're like trotting in at the last minute with your, you know, coffee or whatever it is that you took, you know, is the reason why you're late, or you're just, man, time got away from me. It's like, this is supposed to be a really special day for them. Please make sure that you are somebody who is respectful of that and gets there 15 minutes early.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is, if you have a wedding to go to, that is your thing for the day. Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to go for every single one of these. That is your one thing for the day. Well, I wanted to do this as well. And, you know, I got up and I was working on my house or cleaning the gutters. Probably not. You know, probably not. This is the thing that is going to dominate the day.
At least for the, like, beginning or after portion. Like, if it's in the morning, don't play anything else in the morning. If it's in the afternoon, don't play anything else in the afternoon.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, maybe you do something in the morning, but you need to be very aware that, like, okay, if it's a 3 p.m. wedding, realistically, start wrapping things up around noon. You want to make sure that you're going to get there, because the most embarrassing thing to do is, as you said, like, when the bride walks down, you want to be there. You want to be able to stand. That's a part of the entire experience, is sharing in that moment with them. You're getting the first look. You're seeing the groom's face. He's just lighting up like a Christmas tree, because this is maybe the first time he's seeing her, if they're doing it traditionally. And you don't want to miss those moments in a wedding. Like, then you walk in 5 minutes late because, oh man, I really had to get this one project done. Like, not today. Not today. If you're here for them, like, make sure that you're there for them. Nothing we have on here, don't be checking your phone constantly. And don't be, you added this one, put the camera away. There will be pictures, okay? There will be pictures.
A lot of times they'll request, please don't take pictures. But you'll see typically older individuals who will just have their camera up, like, videoing. Like, this is not for you. You don't need to get a live shot of everything here.
Right. There will be pictures probably posted on Facebook. You can ask if you want to see some of the wedding photos or whatever else. But now's not the time to pull out the phone, or you're checking your fantasy football, or you're doing it. No. It's very similar to church in the fact that, like, you're here for a reason. Like, you're
and it's not for yourself.
It's not for you. Right. It's not for you. So put the phone away. Make sure that you're actually paying attention. Just to finish up, I'll let you get the last one. Bring a good gift. Don't be the type that's, oh, I forgot the gift. Or you're giving, like, $10 to Chick-fil-A type of thing. Not that there's anything wrong with Chick-fil-A, but for a couple, bring a good gift. I think 50s probably. If you know the couple, you're talking 75 to 100 if you know them very well. If you're like, yeah, you know, they invited me, that's nice. 50 to me is kind of a minimum. Like, that's probably what you need to, whether you're getting some off the registry.
Nice.
If you're getting something off the wedding registry, a toaster or whatever, well, okay, maybe that suffices.
Not to sound snobbish, but yes, like, it is one of those things, like, anything less than 50 is not super classy. Like, again, I'm not trying to be snobbish if you're on a shoestring budget and whatnot, but, you know, I guess that might be the exception. But yeah, I would agree with that. The last thing we've got on here is just be happy for the couple and have a really good time. Weddings are meant to be fun. They're meant to be enjoyable. I mean, have a good time as far as enjoy the buzz that's in the air. Talk to people that maybe you haven't met before, or catch up with people maybe you do know, kind of mutual friends and whatnot. Enjoy the food that they have paid for and provided. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't overdo it and go up the line six different times to get cake or punch and whatnot. But it should go without saying, hopefully. But yeah, it's supposed to be a fun occasion. I would say enjoy it.
Absolutely. So next one's groomsmen. You're not the best man, but you are in the wedding party. You're one of the groomsmen. Your key job is to support the groom. It's to make it a special day for him. Help him have fun with it. Don't be Mr. Jokey, where everything is goofy. You're just trying to lighten it, because, yes, it's a serious thing. Maybe she's a bridezilla, and you're just trying to lessen the... Okay, yeah, but make sure that not everything is a joke as you're going through maybe rehearsal or things like that. Like, have a good time with it and make sure he's having a good time. But if you can tell he's stressed to the nines, you come in with some stupid joke probably is not helping.
Yeah, I would say, in fact, what I put on here is lean into the day being all about him.
Mm.
This is one of the only days, and listen, I'm as opposed to somebody being selfish or as opposed to, like, narcissism as it gets. But, man, your wedding weekend, the 3 days surrounding your wedding – that's only going to hopefully happen one time in your entire life. And
pretty
so special. It's okay to make it kind of overdo it on, hey, man, this is all about you. What do you want to eat? What activities do you want to do? It doesn't matter what I want to watch tonight. Doesn't matter what game I want to play, man. This is about you. So if you're a groomsman, if he is, because the one thing I will say, I've been privileged to be in, I was trying to count before, in it, 5 weddings, I think, as a groomsman. It's an honor. Like, it's a privilege for this person who is getting married to select you on their special day to stand up there with you and kind of be a really big part of their weekend, to choose you. Like, that's a big deal. And I would say, to Joe's point about the goofiness, like, don't treat, like, obviously don't be Mr. Stoic, but like, don't treat it as, man, this is just kind of a goofy thing that's not all that important. This is very important to them.
Right.
And so, again, just to add on to the point of leaning into it, like, this is about the groom. This is about the bride, too, of course. And so just be the best supporter, you used that word a second ago, that you can be, because he chose you to be in his wedding party for a reason. Hopefully you're great friends. You're a great individual. You're a great guy. And so, yeah, make the most of that, I would say.
And take it as the honor that it is. I like how you're saying that. Next, be there early. Be ready to help set up anything that needs help setting up, whether that be chairs or, man, they're trying to get the punch, they're rushing the punch out, and you happen to, maybe most of the time you're going to be in the room with him, cutting up, having a good time. But sometimes it's nice to be there to make sure everything is good. Okay, the chairs are where they need to go, last minute preparation. If you can step in and help in those moments, that alleviates a lot of pressure from the bride and from the groom both to know that everything is good, and even from their families as well, because maybe the mother-in-law is really stressing about XYZ. You can step in and be that for him as well. Don't make him have to think about anything. And specifically, don't make him have to think about you and your needs. That is key. Like, oh man, I forgot my shoes.
Do you have any extra toothpaste?
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely not. This is not, you come prepared. Yeah. Don't forget anything. Don't get there and go, oh man, did you bring my tie? Now's not the time. Which, funny story, actually, I did forget my tie. I never ordered. That's the problem.
And you were the groom, weren't you?
I was the groom and forgot to order myself a tie. I was counting through. I'm like, yeah, I got like 5 groomsmen. Perfect, 5 ties. I was supposed to wear the same tie, and your dad saved the day on my wedding day. Went to Macy's, picked up 2 or 3 different ties, picked up a pink one, which I had pink, and they were all like, you make me wear pink, and I got to wear the blue. I looked super classy, let me just say. You guys look good too,
but your dad
picked well on my tie. So yes, that was a stressful moment. My wife didn't know that story for a long time.
That's so funny.
She caught it, and she's like, why do you look different? And then figured it out later, and I was like, yeah, sorry, I didn't never order myself a tie. But to the groomsman point, make sure you bring everything. Come prepared, and don't come looking like, you know, you haven't taken a shower in a week. Man, you better be fresh. You better be there on time. You better look good. You don't want him to have to take care of you or baby you or think about something because, oh, did you guys happen to get my chicken sandwich? No, this is his day. So take a step back. And I'm sorry to say, but like, I've been in enough weddings to know this does actually happen where the groom has to baby the groomsman because they're not paying attention or they forgot something. That is not the day.
This is not to, you know, toot our own horn, but we're both fairly experienced when it comes to being in weddings. Joe, as we talked about, has preached a ton. You've been in quite a few. I've been in quite a few. And so, yeah, we have seen that instance of where the groomsman kind of, again, you got to babysit them a little bit. You know, they're kind of the toddler that you have to basically help out with everything. Like, don't be that guy. I want to go back real fast to the be there early to help set up anything that needs it. This is not a weekend for you or a 3-day stretch for you to just go and kind of have fun and be devoid of all responsibility. Mm. I wanted to say that because, listen, there is an element of, man, they're probably paying somebody to set up. Like, is this really something? And the answer is yes. Like, if you're able to move the chairs, move the tables, be there. Again, it's just the supporting element of like, man, I don't want to do that. I want to go hang out with the boys. I want us to go be able to do this. Like, make sure that there is no help needed first, and then after that, you can kind of have your fun. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's not just a free vacation weekend is what I would say. But the last thing, I'm sorry, we got 2 more things. Actually, I tell you what, I just kind of roped into that one. So the last one we had on here was stay late after for cleanup and kind of taking everything down. This one's hard at the end.
Nobody wants
to do this because the climax, the pinnacle of the entire weekend, again, is the reception, the wedding, of course, itself. And man, once that's over, everybody's ready to go home.
You're exhausted.
Like, you're ready to get out of Dodge. You're like, I got work probably the next day or school or whatever it is. And man, you're not going to want to, but guess what? Her parents and his parents don't want to either. Nobody there wants to, but it's just one of those things that if everybody pitches in, it will go a whole lot faster. And you'd certainly, once again, the groom and the bride certainly should not be thinking about like, oh man, are my parents going to have enough help to get all this stuff down?
Right.
Should we stay and help out? Like, no. And so that would be a very important, and again, similar to the last point of like, it's not a free vacation weekend. Be there to help. Yes, it's, you might be late at night if it's a night wedding, ready to go home, got to drive ahead of you. Do what you can to help out. And then what you've got on here, Joe, is help with the car. My dad instilled in me the true need. It's kind of a non-negotiable, you might say, for you got to decorate their car in a fun way, in a, you know, kind of prankster way. The groomsmen need to be helpful with that. My dad was pretty bad. I'm sure this was not original to him, but I had never heard of anybody doing that. He dumped confetti down the air conditioning vents, and so as soon as you turn on the AC, get hit in the face with confetti.
He did that to my sister's car when my brother-in-law and sister got married. They had confetti coming out their vents for 3 years.
I think when she said when they sold the car,
they had confetti still in the vents. That's hilarious.
It is quite funny.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't hilarious for them on some random Sunday morning, like, you know, 10 weeks after they got
married.
She's
got it in her hair. Yeah.
They're still getting it. I think that's hilarious. You know, some people choose to do the balloons. You're right with right the, on the, you know, yep. Yeah, with the polish or whatever, and the streakers and whatnot. Just be there to help them with that. Once again, it's about them having a good time, making sure you're taking care of them. But don't disappear. That's the main thing. Don't disappear. Like, it's easy to just go sit at your table, or you're going and chatting up some girl or whatever it may be. Like, man, you're there for them. You're there to help them. Make sure you got your head on a swivel a little bit as you're paying attention to what's needed next. No, there's a time to just have a ton of fun with it, for sure, and I want to have a lot of fun the entire weekend. But as you said, you're not devoid of responsibility, and the groomsmen, that is part of their job, is make sure things are good. So let's get into the best man, because this actually, I think, is the longest one we
this
have
one's
on
fun.
Here.
This
one's
fun.
This one's a ton of fun, but this is the two, you know, thanks to G. John Robbie. Yeah, we're going to, if you're ever asked for this, this is one of those that's daunting, because there's a lot of responsibility that kind of goes to the best man, and you may not know exactly what that is. So we broke it into three: leading up to the wedding, on the wedding day, before the wedding, and then after the wedding, on the wedding day. I think there are three different times. So get us into leading up to the wedding.
Yeah, so you've already got some of it, or we've already kind of covered some of it. You've got on here, help out whenever possible. You know, double check that everybody has their tuxes, right? Double check, you know, be the initiator of the group text that kind of keeps everybody informed of plans. And
where we need to go, yeah.
That is a really underrated kind of, not struggle, but obstacle to having a successful wedding weekend, is just really good organization and really good communication. And a lot of times it's because the groom and the bride just have so much going on to think about that having to deal with the logistics of getting everybody to a certain place at the right time, or making sure everybody knows that, oh, we changed this plan, or like, man, that's really where you as the best man can step up and say, hey, I tell you what, I got the group text. Let me just start it. Hey, guys, make sure to be here at this time. Wear this. Here's the plan. You know, stuff like that, that, again, you're just taking a load off of the groom that he doesn't have to, you know, just really, man, does everybody know? Did I get my tie? Like, all those things. Like, he's going to be doing some of that. But, man, offer your help wherever you can to, again, make sure everybody has their tuxes. Make sure everybody knows where to be. Double check that everybody knows where to be. And make sure that you're helping any way you can.
Tell a quick story, and not to pick on my in-laws too much, but since this is very fresh, at the wedding I just preached, we have the day before the wedding, of course, is the rehearsal. I'm flying back. I'm coming straight from the airport to the rehearsal, and my wife is getting texted from one member of her family. There are two locations of the burger place that they were going to go to. Half went to Denver and half went to Littleton.
Oof.
And they're like, where is everybody? What are you talking about? Where's everybody? So we're like, we're not going to make it either way. Like, we're just going to go straight to the venue. I think we're going to have to miss out. They all, I think, missed out on it because they did not communicate and nobody knew who was going where. And both of them chose different burger places. And so some showed up. It was kind of a disaster.
Very poorly planned.
Very poorly planned. And it was nice for us because it took so long. It's like, okay, we got a little more time. We're not as stressed getting there. That's exactly where this comes in. Yeah. As far as it goes with the bachelor party, a lot of people freak out and go, should we do a bachelor party?
Yes, you should do a bachelor party.
Absolutely do a bachelor party. And, okay, let's just get this out of the way. No, you're not taking them to a strip club or any club of any sort. We're not...
Not a worldly bachelor
not
party.
Not a worldly bachelor party. No alcohol, no any of those things. That's not what godly young men are about. So, of course, we're just putting it out there. Hopefully, we don't really need the disclaimer of the average bachelor party. This is about helping him enjoy it to the best of his ability, the last day of his single life. With the bros, he's out with the boys. Like, you want that to be a really good time. And I'm sorry, but getting smashed with alcohol, like, that is not a good time to me, where you're waking up, everybody's hungover, things like that. Not that that's ever happened. I've never done that in my life. But I've been around those. I've preached the weddings where that absolutely was the case. I was the, you know, I show up the next day and they all look like they're hungover, because they are. Because the bachelor party the night before, like, how is this fun? How is that okay? Yeah. You know, but anyway...
I've got a few thoughts on the bachelor party. So there's that extreme, obviously. Again, I should go without saying, yeah, don't do any of that.
Yeah, don't do that.
But I've also seen the other end where it's like, because maybe the best man is not super familiar with bachelor parties or doesn't really know what to do, it's like, what do we have planned? It's like, oh, well, we're going to dinner.
Right.
What else? Cool. What, like, what, oh, well, that's all I had planned. Like, try to go a little bit all out. I mean, and that's kind of an oxymoronic saying, like a little bit all out. But what I mean is, like, make it a little bit more than dinner. Yep. Again, this is kind of the last hurrah, you might say. All his buddies are in town, brothers, whatever. It should be a really fun, enjoyable night. And I've been in the position, I've planned a couple bachelor parties where it's like, do I ask them what they want because I really want to make sure they enjoy it? Do I just kind of plan something that I think they'll enjoy? And I'd say, you know, kind of case-by-case basis on that. I will say most of the time I do feel like guys kind of want everything to just be handled for them. And so, it, like, they're going to be pretty content with whatever you decide. I would – my opinion, the best bachelor parties are going to involve a very nice meal. They're going to involve some kind of activity. If you're an athletic group, some kind of, you know, basketball, golf, yep, something like that. If you're less of an athletic group, then maybe it's going to be a bunch of board games. It's going to be go-karts. It's going to be top golf. It's going to be – there's all kind of things, oh, yeah, you can do. Laser tag, paintball, like a ton of different things you can do. But I would say – and make sure that's well-planned as well is a really big thing. I'll save my story for here in a bit, but when we get to the groom part. But, yeah, bachelor party to me is just a ton of fun. You got on here a movie. That's a great idea, hanging out at the house. Like, you just really want it to be a fun time, a relaxing time, where the groom is probably going to start to have some nerves. Yeah. His wedding's the next day. He's going to be in front of a bunch of people. Man, make sure that's a time that he really, really enjoys. I think we were both at each other's bachelor, yep, parties, and Joe was it was mini golf and went out to eat. Was there something bowling, else that we did?
Bowling after.
That's right, golf. Bowling. It was a kind of an eventful night. It was fun. And then mine was go-karts, and then we went back to the house and just kind of hung out, played 2K, and, yeah, played cards. It was a lot of fun.
It was a good time. That's exactly what it's meant to be, is just a good time. On a couple tips on the restaurant. If you know his favorite restaurant, great. If not, contact the spouse-to-be. You know, contact his where does he like to eat? Try to do that.
Make sure he doesn't pay. That's the other thing.
Do not – that's – thank you. Yep. I didn't want to forget that. Make sure he does not pay. Here's my suggestion. In my opinion, you know, probably months ahead of time. Save up. If you can, reach out to him. Get who's in the party. Have a group text without him there so that you can plan some things with the guys if you're going to do that. You can chip in, hey, I'm so-and-so, because a lot of times you don't even know everybody in the wedding party. He's got friends from college. He's got maybe friends from high school or whatever that he, yeah, grew up with. They don't know each other. Throw it out there. Hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm the best man. Want to make sure this is a really special day. I'm thinking of this restaurant. Everybody can save up a little bit. I would suggest going to a nice steak place that is very nice, very classy.
No Olive Garden, no, correct, Red Lobster, no Cracker Barrel. Like,
unless
get
that's
that stuff
like
out
his
of
absolute,
yeah,
favorite, or he's in a city and he hasn't had this.
Which,
in
if
forever,
that's his absolute
to,
favorite,
yeah, yeah, exactly. We got other bigger fish to fry in that situation.
Sorry,
but seriously, like, try to take him to a nice place. I realize we're all not flush with cash. Like, that is difficult. Make sure everybody's going to chip in. It should not come down to just you having to pay for it. Everybody should be chipping in a little bit. So let's say it's a $40, you know, it costs him 40, 50, 60 bucks, whatever it is for his. Everybody should be chipping in a little bit to make sure that gets covered. But, man, make it special for him. Make it, yeah, something he's going to remember and think back. I remember you being at mine. Like, we went to B-dubs because my brother cheapskate. No, just kidding.
Shout out Jack.
Love Jack. But, no, it was a ton of fun. We were in, you know, Tacoma, Washington. We didn't know anywhere. And so it was good. Went and get some wings. It's a guy thing. But either way, I really do think – I don't want to get stuck on this, but truly, like, nailing the bachelor party can be – man, it can be a ton of fun if you're doing it, yeah, right. If you're figuring out what he likes, if you got some video games planned, if you're staying in a hotel, figure out what to do at the hotel. You're going to, you know, have a movie to watch and make sure you get all the snacks present, his favorite drinks, whatever it is, things like that. Your job is to help him enjoy his last day as a single guy, as we already said. You want him hanging out with the boys and enjoying and getting his mind off the next day. So the wedding day arrives. That's the night before. Make sure everybody is kind of in bed at some time. If you're paying attention, like, dude, it's already 2 a.m. Like, he needs to show up fresh.
I was in bed at 3 a.m.
Yeah, he's already going to be stressed and everything else. Yeah. I think I was way late on mine as well.
Really?
So, yeah, we get it. It's probably not going to be. But he's got other important things to do the next night. So he's going to want his sleep. try to, if you got guys that are, you can tell he's really tired, that's your job as the best man to step in. All right, guys, all right, you know, let's calm it down a little bit. We're going to let him go to get his beauty rest type of thing. You know, he's got a big day next tomorrow. Let's all meet at whatever time. You're going to be the guy that's going to really be coordinating as much as possible, because if he's having to coordinate, once again, he's got bigger things to think about. He is going to make the biggest decision, one of the biggest decisions of his life in like 12 hours or 14 hours, whatever it is. Like, give him a little space. Make sure you're taking care of those things. Going, all right, guys, everybody here at the, you know, down in the lobby, 8 a.m., make sure you got this. If you can, so take your notes app, whatever it is, make a note of what everybody needs to show up to the venue with. That way you can check in, send it on a group text, make sure that everybody's got it. I realize that's a lot of work, but that's also part of the coolness of being a best man is you're his wingman.
Yeah. I don't have a ton to add here. I mean, I would say you've got it on here, Joe. Your job on the wedding day is kind of make him think about as little as possible. We've kind of talked about this a ton, but that is the main purpose of the best man. One that you got on here is interesting. I'm going to skip to the bottom so if you want to cover the first one here in just a second. You got on here, read the room, and you do, as the best man, somewhat set the tone for the wedding party. Because you're kind of going to have more responsibility. You are, odds are, if you're the best man, you are closer to the groom than any of the other guys. And so you've got on here, read the room. And what that looks like is like, listen, if everybody's just like super tense and you can tell everybody's stressed out, like, this is supposed to be a fun time, an enjoyable time. And so
little joke,
lightening it up a little bit and saying, hey guys, come on, chill out. Let's just have a good time. Or maybe it's the other end of the spectrum and everybody is just way too loosey-goosey with it, and you can tell that the groom is getting a little stressed out about it, or maybe the bride is getting a little like, are these guys going to take this seriously? Is this just some big joke to them? Step in and kind of step in that way as well. Like, hey guys, let's straighten up here a little bit. We know we're kind of putting a lot on the best man here, but that is one of the privileges of being the best man, is you do kind of set the tone of the wedding party, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a privilege, man. It's a privilege. It's a good time. All we're going to say is, being the wingman, be the guy that's on the wedding day. You're going to get the bottle of water. You're going to make sure he has his corsage, if he's doing that, right? That he's not poking himself. You know, you want to do the corsage for him. Make sure he's got his tie, or that you're straightening the tie before he goes up there, because you want him looking fresh. You want him looking as good as possible. And that is your job, to do the last minute check. Instead of, man, he goes up there, he's got some lint on you know, his shoulder, and his hair is completely messed up and his tie's a little bit crooked. Like, that's on you. Step in, make sure he's looking clean as he gets up there. All the last minute checks.
I had one more, sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Be really supportive during the pictures. This is a tough one. No guy likes standing for 2 hours taking pictures, different angles, different poses. Now stand here. Now do this thing. Now, like, listen, unless you're weird, like, no guy truly enjoys that. But man, don't make it harder on the photographer. This is one, like, they're paying them hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars to take pictures for their wedding.
Like a one shot, man.
And you could, you know, be difficult. Oh my goodness, how much longer do we have? Or, you know, just be goo. Like, make it easy on them. Make it.
That's a great point.
Don't be the guy who, for the groom, makes it super painful, and he's like having to apologize for his groomsmen. Like, be supportive. The pictures are one of the, I would say, less enjoyable things for the wedding party on the wedding day, or whenever it is, if it's after the wedding, if you don't do a first look. But what I would say is, man, do your best to not make that any more difficult than it already is, because they're going to look back on those pictures and truly, truly cherish them. So make it a special part.
Right. And once again, step in if you see the groom has been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're just not taking it seriously. Step in, be willing. You may not know them. That may be uncomfortable. Hey guys, you know, hold on. Let's get through this. I don't want to do this either, but let's just get through this type of thing. You could throw that out there, but you really want to make this special for them. So I like that addition. So after the wedding, we got before the wedding, nail the bachelor party, have a ton of fun, make it special to him. Couple things that matter to him specifically, you know, whatever that is, favorite snack, favorite movie, your favorite restaurant or activity or whatever. Wedding day, you're Johnny on the spot. You're the wingman. You're making sure everybody else looks fresh as they're going up there. You're making sure he's looking clean. After the wedding, you stick around, of course, to sign the wedding certificate. Don't go missing. You have to sign it, because you're going to be, the preacher signs it, they both sign it. Then you're going to sign it as the witness, and the bridesmaids,
maid of honor,
thank you, is going to sign it as the witness on her side. So don't go missing. That's not the time to go use the restroom, check out. Like, they're going to need you there. So get there, sign it. Sign the wedding. What is it?
Certificate. Yeah.
Wedding certificate. Next thing, go help with the car. Make sure it's ready. When they're ready to roll out, you don't want it to be like, oh man, who's got the keys? Like, did we do all the stuff? Did we put the confetti in? Did we put the balloons in?
I would say you want to make sure their bag is packed beforehand.
Yeah, that's a great point. Bags are packed. They're in the car, exactly where it is. You want to make it where they roll out. Everybody throws the rice or whatever it is. I don't know. That's old, but I've seen that done at weddings.
Bubbles, usually sparklers now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bubbles, whatever it is. And everybody, they're kind of going through it, and it's a ton of fun, sparklers. They get in the car, and they jet. Instead of, did we get this? Did we get that?
Man.
That's not their time to think about it. It's your job and the maid of honor to think about, is everything ready to roll? Is the car pulled around under the carport where they get in the car and they leave and they don't have to turn back around and go, oh, I forgot this. That'd be horrible.
Yeah. The next one you have on here is for the toast, non-alcoholic toast, of course, but like for the speech, like for the best man speech. And sometimes this is before, this is done at the rehearsal dinner. I think mine was. And then sometimes it's done at the reception, which is, I think, what yours was, where the best man gives a speech, maid of honor gives a speech, maybe the father of the bride gives a speech or whatever it is. We're sticking with a familiar theme here, in case you haven't noticed. This is not your time to be Mr. Stand-Up Comedian. This is right. not open mic night for you to just hop up there and just tell your 18th story about, you know, the inside joke that's not honestly all that funny to anybody listening, but it's funny to you and the groom.
Like, you had to be there for, like, then don't tell
me. Right. Like, it's just not the time for that. This is a time for you to, honestly, guys are not really big on this, say something sentimental, say something sweet, say something that you truly appreciate and really love about the guy that, again, chose you to be his best man. Say, even if you don't know the girl super well, do your best to speak very kindly of her. This is, and I'm not to say that a story here and there or a joke is out of bounds. It is certainly not. It's a joyful time. It's a fun time. But if I would say if it's 60% jokes and 40% like sentimental nice things, that's probably out of balance, right, is what I would say. It needs to be more excitement for their life, their future together, fond memories maybe. Again, nice things about the specifically the groom, but also for the bride as well. Maybe go a little bit lighter on the jokes, I would
say. Your stories need to have a point to them.
Yeah,
that's
good.
You can't just be to make fun of them. Do not ever denigrate
the
guy. You want to make him look like, same as before, your job is to make him look like $1 million. Where everybody wishes they had your relationship with him, that you know him so well. And I've been to weddings where they tell stories and it's like,
they're like ripping the guy.
whoa, like that. Don't do that. You know, that's not good. Oh, remember the one time we got busted by the cops? Like, that's not the time. You want to tell stories that make him look really good, and you want the stories to tie into something. So what I would say is make sure the story ties into something about their future together. He's going to make a great husband. You know, we had this one time where we did this, and man, he came through for me. He was the best friend ever. He bailed me out of a really tough situation. Like, speaks well of him, tells me he's prepped for marriage. I know he's going to show up for you. You know, Sarah, whatever your name is, Julie. Like, I know he's going to treat you like $1 million. He's always been there for me. Tell a couple sweet stories. So have a point to the stories rather than just making it Mr. Joke Time where everybody goes, ha, has a couple, but we don't really know the guy any better. You want to set him up for, you guys are going to be so happy together in the future, and that needs to be the main point of the toast.
Show some maturity in it, and don't wing it, is what I would say. Plan it out, write it out.
You will go blank if you're up there and you had all these thoughts at a time.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is pressure.
It really is. And so I know we're kind of going off on this, but this is one that we both have a lot of experience in or really passionate about. Don't wing it and show a little maturity, and that, man, you can make for a really special speech.
Absolutely. Last thing, offer to return the tux, help him out, whatever may be needed after. He may be going on his honeymoon and out of town. If he needs something taken care of, it's not your job to go over there and feed his dogs type of thing, unless he asks, great. But the idea of getting the tux back or doing, you know, maybe taking the wedding or the marriage certificate to the courthouse or something, if you can, you don't have to step in and go, hey, what do you need? What do you need? On the other hand, be prepared for something like that. And if you notice, you're thinking logistically like, oh man, he may need that. Maybe step in and offer, hey, I'm going to go back and take the tux to Men's Warehouse, whatever it is. Can I take yours? Something along those lines, I think, can be helpful. So hopefully this gives you a decent understanding of what the best man is supposed to do. In some ways, you are not the most important person. We're about to talk about the most important person. You are pretty important to the process of making sure this is a smooth and enjoyable
successful
experience
weekend.
For him, a successful weekend. So, Will, get us into this last one about the groom.
Yeah, so I'm going to hit them both quickly. This is where my story is going to come in because we've gone long on this
episode. I do
have
one more thing that I did not add to this that I will add.
Perfect, yeah, I'll let you wrap us up. So, have fun, but take it seriously. You will probably have nerves. You're going to be standing up there as well. You're going to maybe give a speech. Like, nerves are going to – or I'm sorry, this is the groom. I apologize. I'm still thinking of the best man. Have fun, but take it seriously in the sense of – it is one of those hard balances of like, this is one of the most serious things that you will ever do in your entire life. You are joining together with somebody as one flesh for the rest of your life, committing vows to this person to never leave their side until death do us part. And yet, man, it's supposed to be fun. I want you to look back, you know, my personal wish is that you look back on this as the groom and just nothing but fond memories. Just truly enjoy it. I would say don't be afraid to cry. I didn't think I would cry. I'm not a crier. I don't hardly ever cry. I had the waterworks going at mine, you know, once the groomsmen started walking down, the music was playing, the reality of the moment hit. It's like, whoa, this is actually happening. Don't be afraid of that. You know, I would say be prepared for to let some emotion show. That's not a bad thing. Because of that, every time now, one of the things that I do when the doors open and the bride starts walking down, I'll look at the groom and see, like, what is the groom crying or, and whatnot. But to go back to it again, enjoy your time. Don't be goofy. Don't be immature about it. But just also maybe don't take it quite as seriously as, like, we can't let anything get messed up. Everything's got to go perfectly. Like, to be honest, the bride is probably going to be the one that does that. And so your job as the groom is to lighten the load a little bit, lighten the stress.
Bridezilla is a thing. Groomzilla is not really supposed to be a thing. Hey, you want it the way you want it. That's perfectly fine. It's okay to say those things. But also realize everybody's just trying to support you and have a good time. You don't necessarily have to be a jerk about it. And I've seen this. I've been around those grooms that are like, okay, buddy, you know, or they want to support the wife so much and the wife is going just crazy. Yeah. And instead of stepping in with the kind word of like, it's okay, you know, we're going to get through this type of thing. Instead, he turns around and becomes a, you know, he gives the marching orders and just super mad at everybody because she's not having the best time possible. Like, maybe this is a time to just go give her a hug. Step in. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. It's going to look beautiful no matter what. Yeah. If so-and-so doesn't have the exact shoes, I know that can be really frustrating. Take her aside. Support your future wife to be in this. Like, but don't be the guy that is incredibly serious to the point of, like, nobody wants to be around you type of thing. And that sounds horrible. But truly, enjoy the day is all we're saying.
Last thing. This is where my story will come in. So be there with plenty of time so as to not stress anyone out in the wedding party. And I think Joe is talking more so about, like, weddings at 1, it's 12:45, and everybody's like, where's the groom? Is he going to show up? For me, so what I would say, my addition to this would be, make sure you're crystal clear on when you are expected to be there the day of. I don't even know if Joe remembers this, but so our wedding was at like 1 or 1:30, I want to say. Bachelor party was the night before, but part of the bachelor party was the next morning we were going to go play basketball where there was a gym that we had like reserve basically where we were just going to go play some basketball. One of the things I really love to do. And my wife was under the impression that we were going to be at the venue at a certain time to help set up for, I'm assuming, the reception. I don't really remember exactly what it was. And that was just kind of an expectation that I was not aware of. And so, you know, that was, she was not super happy with me in that moment that she was trying to get a hold of me. Where are you at? And we're having a great time playing basketball. And I didn't realize that I was supposed to be there at a certain time. So I was, of course, not late to my wedding or anything. But I would just say, be crystal clear about when you're expected to be there to help set up, to get dressed, whatever it is. Pictures is another big one. So, yeah, I would say that's my inclusion.
I do remember that. Yep. I didn't know what the behind the scenes.
It wasn't like a big blow up or anything, she thought I was going to be there a certain time, and we were about 2 hours later than what we were supposed to. So
hey, these things happen. That's one of the things you'll know about a wedding. One of the biggest things to remember is no day goes 1,000% as planned. There will always be a hiccup somewhere along the way. Roll with the punches. At the end of the day, Lord willing, if everything goes well and you're not left at the altar, you guys will be married. Yeah. You'll have great stories to tell. The music maybe wasn't perfect. So and so showed up late. You know. It's okay. It's all part of the story, all part of the lore. You're going to have a great thing to tell your kids in the future. You're going to have great stories of your wedding day. Even if something went wrong, sometimes that's the funnest part of telling that story. Like, man, we didn't even have, like, my groomsman didn't show up until 15 minutes after we're supposed to start. You may be incredibly angry and you have every right to be in that moment, but it'll make for a great story later. So try to remember that in context. It's a very nerve-wracking, heightened day emotionally. Try to enjoy it. The other things that I was going to say, or the only other things I was going to add is, yes, have some groomsman gift. You want to make sure, like some people, I don't know, some people don't think about that. In my opinion, having some groomsman gift of some sort, you did give us, a pocket knife?
I don't remember what I gave you.
You have, and I don't know who, maybe, I don't know if it was your parents that helped with it. You gave us something that I'll remember it later.
I can't remember for the life. I mean, I remember what you gave us mobile chargers that were really nice.
Yeah, right? Goofy, but I thought, hey, everybody here travels. And so a mobile charger I thought might be helpful. You gave us something, and I've received a knife, and I thought maybe that was you, engraved knife, and I have received something else for being in the party. Very nice thing.
Some guys
do
cologne. Like
cologne, something along those lines. Yes, it's going to cost you a little bit, but try to give your groomsmen, this is maybe, don't have 10 groomsmen, and it'll cost you less. try to give something that's going to help everybody remember the day. And so having like an engraved knife, that was really cool. I can't remember whose wedding party that was.
That might have been mine.
I was going to say, it might have been yours. I feel like it was. But anyway, very nice gift. And clearly it meant so much that I don't remember where it was from. I just remember it was really nice. Thinking, wow, what a kind thing. But think about those things. The last thing is pay the preacher or give him a gift of sorts, something along those lines. It's a lot. I had mentioned that there was five. We only covered four.
We've gone
four.
43 minutes yeah, we've so gone a far long on time this one. So on we just, good thing we took that out.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the fifth one was going to be preacher. What to do as a preacher. You're probably not going to be preaching a lot of weddings. If you do, I mean, feel free to get on the Discord and ask me about it. I'm not the end-all, be-all in weddings. I've just done a lot of them. There are specific things you want to know as a preacher going into it. Very specific things. Like your role is more important. It's more important than I thought it was initially, so you quickly learn. But pay the preacher. He's got a lot going on. There's a lot that goes into it, or give him a gift of some sort. So that's just another thing to think about along the way. But this has been fun. I know it's gone way long. I know we had a lot to cover. Hopefully this is to our G. John. Hey, I hope this helped. And good luck. Hope the wedding is fantastic. And if it's already happened, then hope it went super well. Sorry we're late on it. But any other thoughts?
I just say let us know your thoughts and comments. Appreciate you listening. This was a longer one, but covered a lot of ground. Yep. We'll be back next week for a special special update. I was almost going to spoil it there, but I'm not going to spoil it. We will very much look forward to next week, episode one. Next week, episode 115, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that'll work out well. Sweet. Of the Godly Young Men podcast, thank you so much for watching and listening.